I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Oh, it's on, ladies and gentlemen. It's barely on, but it's on. I'm a little disheveled this afternoon. Sue, how are you?
Fine. What has happened?
Well, as you might notice, I'm dressed a little more casually than usual because I was on the golf course with our friend Steve Butts, State Representative Steve Butts. Aww. We were playing golf for the police officers this afternoon over in Fairview Heights.
Awesome.
I will fill you in on all of that excitement. I actually have a couple of pretty good stories from today that won't even bore you, Sue. I think you'll like it because they're not really about golf.
Are they just about fantasy football?
No, okay. No. They're about Mark being stupid.
Oh, all
That's
right.
That's perfect, right? It's right up your alley. It's right up everyone's alley. I will highlight some of that coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll do that right before Sue's news. And while we're in the 4 o'clock hour, I'm really excited about this because Mike Del Judas is coming on. Now, the forecast doesn't look so great for Billy Joel's concert, right?
No.
But Mike is a member of the band. He's been a member of the band for 10 years. But the way he became a member of Billy's band is really, really amazing. It's a great story.
Love it.
It's what I say is if you look up in, you know, Wikipedia, Living the Dream, you'll see this guy's picture because he really is living the dream. He was in a cover band. He had his own cover band for Billy Joel. Billy heard him and said, wait a second, that guy's really good. Let's get him in the band. And that's what happened. So Mike's coming up at 4:25. We're going to keep our fingers crossed on the weather for the weekend, which is not good. But you know where it's worse? In Florida right now. We have a Category 3 moving across that state. And your friend, I did not know him. I've only met him recently on the radio, Steve Jervey, who is a former chief meteorologist here in St. Louis at KDNL, is also formerly of WFLA in Tampa, and he's down in Florida. He's like our hurricane go-to guy.
He really is.
Right.
He sent me video from his house a few minutes ago and said it's not that bad yet. And I'm telling you, he's got palm trees like whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I don't know what bad is to you, but we define that differently.
Well, maybe they get a little used to it down there, right?
I think so.
I checked with, here, let me see if I can give you a more recent update, because I checked in with my friend who has, you know, restaurants and properties on Captiva. My friend Tim McGowan says, initial wave of storm high tide has caused surge in low-lying areas of Captiva. That was this morning. The tide is receding, but water everywhere. The next high tide is 6 p.m. tonight. And he says this one has potential to be more damaging as it will include more water from the day's rain. Winds are blowing, but doesn't seem to be a factor for damage. Now, he's not necessarily in the area where you have, you know, an absolute direct strike. By the way, I think they're now expecting it to be Category 4.
Yeah, they upgraded it to a 4.
Right. Hang on, Fred, because everything's all different in here, and I didn't have your mic on, so okay. Sorry.
I've been seeing some really bad scenes in Fort Myers of the bridges with water just like coming right up to the edges of the bridges and cars turning around because they don't want to risk that.
Well, good. I'm glad they're doing that. You know, what's interesting is you would think that, I think I'd mentioned Tallahassee. This is what I heard this morning. You know, Tallahassee has never had a direct hit from a hurricane in history, they say?
Well, it's pretty far north, isn't it?
Is that
inland?
Why?
I don't think it's a coastal sort
because
of situation.
Because of that. I will say I'm not good on my Florida geography, but that when I heard that this morning, it just still sounded a little odd considering the number of hurricanes that have moved through. But it does look pretty serious, the storm surge in particular. Do we have any good audio from that, Fred?
We've got a couple things under Helene.
Let's see here. This is from FEMA this afternoon. If I can get it right, look.
Day event with the potential for significant impacts from Florida all the way to Tennessee.
All right. Well, it's not good. And we're getting some of the rain here. And the question becomes, how much rain are we going to get? What are you guys hearing at this point as far as our rainfall? I saw 2 inches possible for tomorrow here, which would...
I saw that one, too.
Yeah. And that would affect the concert tomorrow night. I did check in, and my understanding is that Billy Joel and Sting, Busch Stadium, it will be rain or shine. Now, the only thing that could interfere is if you have lightning or something like that, but let's just kind of state the obvious here. If you're going to that show tomorrow night, you better have some parkas at the very least.
You know, I checked in with Dave Murray today because I was trying to get him on for this afternoon to talk about the weekend weather because he's flying into St. Louis
right
now.
Right.
His flight's delayed. He's going to be in the air. He's still trying to get here.
Oh,
he was stuck in Tulsa, waiting, trying to get here.
Well, the forecast on my phone, which Dave Murray hates, does say tomorrow the high of 68, 100% chance of rain and winds 20 to 30 miles per hour, 1 to 2 inches of rain.
Yeah, that's a lot of rain. I mean, in a short period of time. And then what about the weekend?
Yeah, the weekend is just more rain. 50% chance on Saturday, and Sunday looks better.
So, you know, this affects, and we'll see if we can get Dave to gauge this. This does affect Evolution Festival. One of the reasons that he's coming in is Evolution Festival. It's at Forest Park. And if it's just going to be a mud pit, that will certainly affect. It rained last year, as I remember. That was in August, though, and it was really hot, too, and it smelled bad because of all the rain.
Terrible.
So I don't know what's going to happen. But we'll certainly report back. And do we have Dave set up for today, Fred, or not?
No, because he's stuck.
Because he's traveling.
Right, he's traveling.
I got you. All right. Well, we have, as I mentioned, Steve Jervis coming up. Jeff Smith is going to come up here in a couple of minutes because we have information about Eric Adams, the mayor of New York. I don't even know how to really approach this at this point. We've known about this for a couple of years that they have, I think it was a year ago, they took his phone and they gave it back to him. They searched other things. You've had a lot of people in the New York City mayor's office resign, you know, amidst some investigation. So everyone knew. Look, you go back 8-9 months, we were talking about this with Paul Morrow and some other people. What's going to happen? Is there going to be a raid? Well, Adams last night, some of this is from last night, right?
Fred? Just the one marked last night.
Let's see here. Oh, that would be the way that I would have that. Well, where is that one that says last night? Because I see Adams. Is there something other way that we would actually, Ethan, is there another way that we would put that into the system? Because I only see Adams, and I do not see anything along those lines. So we'll have to see. But basically, this has to do with Turkey. Of all things. And it's a little bizarre. They say this was a multi-year scheme to buy favor with a single New York City politician on the rise. Mr. Williams is the U.S. Attorney Damian Williams, who was making some comments this morning. He said year after year, he kept the public in the dark. Last night, there was the statement that was released that I was going to play for you, but let me just play the news conference from this morning because he's being very defiant. He says, no, I'm not guilty here.
Fellow New Yorkers, it is now my belief that the federal government intends to charge me with crimes. If so, these charges will be entirely false, based on lies. But they would not be surprising. I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target. And a target I became.
I think that is what he said last night. Sorry.
Yeah, that's it.
I have to apologize for the audience, and I meant to do this at the beginning. You have to bear with us a little bit this week. We're still in this studio transition. Things are all different for me. My brain is trained to do things in one way. And some of the microphones just sound terrible. My music that I'm playing, some of the bumper music, just sounds awful. And for the trained ears out there, you might realize that our engineers are working pretty damn hard. They have an entire building that they're, you know, putting new boards in. So they're busting their butts, and we're doing the best. But we do have some hiccups. So I just want to, and what's good about hiccups with me, I think Fred would certainly confirm this, is I let things just kind of, right. Yeah. I let them roll off me. I never get emotional or anything like that, right? But it's wanted to give that caveat there. So he says, look, I'm going to defend myself.
It's an unfortunate day. And it's a painful day. But inside of all of that, it's a day where we will finally reveal why for 10 months I have gone through this. And I look forward to defending myself and defending the people of this city.
You know what I look forward to? When the movie comes out about all this, and Tracy Morgan has got to play Eric Adams because they sound exactly alike. Listen to him here.
I have been facing these lies for months since I began to speak out for all of you and their investigation started. Yet the city has continued to improve. Make no mistake, you elected me to lead this city, and lead it I will.
What are the charges?
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to fill you in here. It's a little convoluted. And before I fill you in on the charges and explain what this seemingly is about, I think we have to say this in fairness, and I like to be consistent. We have a lot of suspicion about the way federal prosecutors and the Justice Department are prosecuting political officials, right? Yeah. So it would be intellectually dishonest to me to not sit back and at least say, wait a second, maybe there is another side to this story, because we've seen the power of the federal government in these prosecutions. Now, on the other hand, as we in this room all know, look, when the feds go after you, they got the got the goods. When Lewis Reed, to use a local example, and you know, I still consider Lewis a friend, even though he went to the Huskow, former president of the Board of Aldermen. He didn't do anything wrong, right? He said he didn't do anything wrong. He did not. He probably maybe would say that today. Jeffrey Boyd, I didn't do anything wrong. To a certain extent, there is, and I'm not saying that happened with them, but there is an entitlement here with African-American politicians that is apparently impenetrable unless you indict them. And that's what's happened here. So here's what they say. He sought and accepted improper, valuable benefits since at least 2014 when he was a borough president in Brooklyn. The benefits included luxury travel, free and discounted Turkish airline tickets, free meals in hotel rooms from wealthy foreigners, at least one Turkish government official. He traveled on the airline even when it was inconvenient. So they use an example. They say that in 2017, he went from Paris to New York, but they stopped in Istanbul first, so they kind of went in the other direction. That's not a direct flight, really. The prosecutors say, this is New York Times coverage, Mr. Adams tried to hide the gifts or make it appear as if he had paid for them. Their value exceeded $100,000.
Oh, he's in trouble.
Yeah, Mr. Adams pressured officials at the New York City Fire Department to permit a new Turkish consulate building in Manhattan, despite safety problems. So they've been, look, they've been tying this thing together for literally years, right? Let's see here. The investigation culminated dramatically at dawn today. This is, again, New York Times coverage. Nearly a dozen men and women dressed in business attire arrived in SUVs outside of Gracie Mansion. And that's what they do, right? So he says he wasn't surprised by this because, look, they knew it was coming.
We are not surprised. We expected this. This is not surprising to us at all. The actions that have unfolded over the last 10 months, the leaks, the commentary, the demonizing, this did not surprise us that we reached this day.
So this does remind me of somebody else locally. Who does it remind us of? Kim Gardner.
Yeah.
Now, well, look, this is like remember when Kim Gardner had that ridiculous news conference last year and all her supporters were shouting down the media and they tried to make it seem like she had done nothing wrong and she just pulled the race card? That's the only thing I haven't heard here from Eric Adams, the race card.
Oh,
I'm sure
there's
time for
These charges will be entirely false based on lies, but they would not be surprising. I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target. And a target I became.
Come on, dude.
You know,
Come on, dude.
How is flying and getting accepting gifts working for the people? In other words, what does he think? How is he even tying that in?
Well, it's this entitlement that I think some, and I don't know why, there is some cultural aspect to this where they feel, we've seen this in Georgia with some of the things, remember with the prosecutor down there, it's just an entitlement philosophy that they have. Now, KJP was asked about this today in the briefing room.
Eric Adams suggests that he's being targeted by the Biden administration over his criticism of the migrant crisis. Now, this is the kind of accusation that's similar to what we've heard from former President Donald Trump. So what is the president's reaction to that kind of language being used from a Democrat?
Look, we have been always very clear. The president was clear even when he was running in 2020 that he was going to make sure that DOJ is independent and the DOJ is handling this case independently. I'm not going to go beyond that.
Okay, well, and that would be a standard answer from the briefing room. I don't think you'd get really anything different, especially on this case. But this will be very, very, very interesting. You know what I want to talk to you about this, and I don't think it was available today, is Paul Morrow, because he's talked about this when he's been on the air with us previously. And Kilmeade's going to join us tomorrow. I know that he's going to be pretty worked up about this as well. We don't often talk to Brian on a Friday, but it just kind of worked out that way, so we'll have him on in the 5 o'clock hour. Now let's move to Kamala Harris before we get to some more Eric Adams coverage, as Jeff Smith's going to weigh in on this here in just a couple of minutes. Did you watch the interview? Fred, you've seen some of the clips with Stephanie Ruhle. She goes on MSNBC holistically, and I guess maybe, hopefully, people 20 minutes ago when I did the promo for the show, did you hear what I did?
I did.
I was a bit of a smartass and just talked holistically and holistically, because she just liked to say the word holistically over and over again. I think it's this cut. Let's see.
And assistance to state and local governments around transit dollars. And looking holistically at the connection between that and housing. And looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing.
Now, look, that's three times in 21 seconds. I think I heard John Roberts on Fox say, I don't think I've said that word in 15 years three times, right? But that was part of what she said. Now, I want you to hear, this is Stephanie Ruhle, because, you know, there's people watching this from CNN and Fox, and people are weighing in, and Twitter's blowing up and all this stuff. The bottom line is, she wasn't pressed. Well, before I play what Stephanie Ruhle says, I'll give you one question. This was a pretty good question, I think.
Prices are still high.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You said you want to take this on by going after those who engage in price gouging.
Yeah.
But as somebody who supports free markets, who's a capitalist, how do you go after price gouging without implementing price controls?
Well, first of all, Stephanie, it's price gouging, and I wanted to. But that's a good question.
That's a good question.
Because once we get in this zone, people start to get worried, and they say, I don't know what she stands for.
So just to be very frank, I am never going to apologize for going after companies and corporations that take advantage of the desperation of the American people.
So this is a program response, and she does
whom?
This all the way. It's not followed up upon. There's no specifics here. Stephanie Ruhle, again, that was a decent question, but she doesn't follow up. And this is what Harris does. She's been coached to do this. She doesn't answer the question. She talks about him. The only thing I'm surprised about here, she didn't talk about how she holistically, you know, was growing up a working class person. I think she's a prosecutor, though. I've been told she's a prosecutor. She might mention that.
And as Attorney General, I saw this happen in the midst of an emergency, whether it be an extreme weather event or even the pandemic. We saw it where those few companies, not the majority, not most, but those few companies that
which ones she's saying not the majority, but most companies,
not the majority, not most, but those few companies that would take advantage of the desperation of people and jack up prices. Yeah, I'm going to go after them.
Yeah,
to go after them.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And that is part of a much more comprehensive plan on what we can do to bring down the cost of living, including housing, including the everyday needs of the American people.
She's going to do it.
Here's a question, though. Madam Vice President, can you give me, I don't know, just one example of an American company that has price gauged someone? That wasn't asked, and she just talks about blah, blah, blah.
It is her administration that brought us to the point where we can't afford to live.
Look, I want you to listen to
Mark. That sounded to me like she is going to do price freeze. What am I trying to say? Gouging, gauging.
Price gauge, yeah. No.
Well, no, it sounds like they're going to do price control, and that is terrible.
Look, she, I can't. Let me play Mark. I think I have to play Mark Cuban here, and I think you'll hear what I want you to hear, because he goes on the last 24 hours. He's a nut job. I'm telling you right now.
Meaning the mainstream media is not who you think it is. The mainstream media truly leans right. Maybe.
When you're what? The mainstream media truly leans right. He actually said that with a straight face.
Second in command, you do what your boss tells you to do. He delegates authority to you.
But the border was supposed to be her.
Yeah, but still the same thing. It's his policies. What he said to her was, you go down and you use diplomacy to try to improve, to try to reduce the flow, the migration of people across the border.
So Biden, or he says, Mark Cuban's like, look, she wasn't president. She was vice president. Give her a break. Although Joe Biden just said this.
And as vice president, there wasn't a single thing that I did that she couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to delegate her responsibility on everything from foreign policy to domestic policy.
Basically, he's like, I handed it to her. She's my number two, right? She does everything. So this kind of lets us circle back to Stephanie Ruhle, because we get no specifics from this vice president. She finally sits down for another sit-down interview. The criticism is no specifics. And here's how the MSNBC host defends that.
One could watch that and say, well, she didn't give a clear, direct answer. That's okay, because we are not talking about clear or direct issues.
I don't think I need to comment on that. I think the audience is smart enough to roll their eyes on their own. We're coming back with a little bit more on the Eric Adams situation with former state.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Don't forget, we have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow on the panel. Jane Duker will be here. I thought, you know what? I would have bet, and I would have lost money on this bet, too. Georgia plays Alabama this weekend. I thought Jane was going to text yesterday, say, I got a ticket for that game because her daughter goes to Alabama. Yeah. But that apparently did not happen unless she texts us tomorrow morning, which is not out of the question. You'll remember this moment. GOP consultant David Barklage is here. And former state senator Jeff Smith will be here tomorrow as well. He's with us right now to react to some of the Eric Adams news of this afternoon. Jeff, how are you? Happy Thursday to you. How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you? Sorry, I couldn't hear you there for a second. So one of the things I just said in the intro a few minutes ago, I played some of the audio from Eric Adams. I ran down some of the particulars of the case is I have to be honest. Obviously, I and other people, certainly on my side of the political aisle, have criticized the feds for going after people in political positions and doing it way too aggressively. So I don't know what's provable here. It does look good, though, for Eric Adams. And as someone, I think a lot of people know that Jeff was the target of a federal investigation, you know, involving some campaign literature many years ago, which sent you to prison for a short time. You know how they operate, right?
Unfortunately, I do.
So what you've seen about this case, what's your takeaway so far? Because, again, on the surface and some of the details that the U.S. attorney is releasing, it doesn't look good at all for Eric Adams.
Look, the number of people who beat federal indictments is vanishingly small.
Right.
Okay? Like, you know, 95-ish percent of the time, like, people end up either pleading guilty or losing at trial. A very small percentage of the time, you know, the case will fall apart, or, you know, someone will hang a jury, but it doesn't happen very often. So, you know, the feds don't go in without a very extensive kind of, you know, investigation. And you see, this one started over 3 years ago.
Right.
So they're, and when they have your messages and your messages are saying, delete all messages, and the other person says, don't worry, I always delete our messages, but the feds have the messages.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that should tell you that they're pretty sophisticated. We're not talking about, like, the Stoddard County, you know, like, right, you know, prosecutor and his detective. We're talking about, like, you know, they've got the most sophisticated district in the whole country. The jurisdiction is the Southern District of New York. So they're a very sophisticated operation, you know, the federal prosecutor's office up there. They've been up on his phones. They've been up on his aides' phones. A lot of his aides and top people have resigned over the last few months. And so, you know, you see those resignations, usually a flurry of resignations when people get their houses raided. They have to give up their devices, and they know there's stuff on those devices that are going to cause them to have to, you know, focus on their legal defense instead of their job. So the optics are not good for him. And, you know, the amounts are significant enough when you rack up the airplane tickets and the hotel rooms and, you know, the other assorted kind of gifts that were given, that, you know, this is, you know, it's in the six figures. So I think, I don't think he's going to be mayor a year from now.
Here's what he said, by the way.
These charges will be entirely false based on lies, but they would not be surprising. I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target, and a target I became.
Okay, he's the victim here, so what do you make of that? I mean, they all say this, though, right?
Look, like, you know, we're in the era of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump never gives an inch. He never admits, you know, that he's wrong about anything, and it's worked for him with Republican primary voters. But there's an awful lot of people, we got to remember, Mark, in both parties, from Mark Robinson in North Carolina to Eric Greitens, you know, here in Missouri, to, you know, now Eric Adams is trying it, and many others have tried it too. They've tried to play Trump, but it really only works for Donald Trump. You know, like, it doesn't work for pretty much anybody else who tries it. So, you know, it especially doesn't work very well in the current political environment in a Democratic primary electorate, because over the last year or plus, Democratic primary voters have become accustomed to being on the side of DOJ in these prosecutions. And it's going to be much harder to convince Democratic primary voters, as Adams is up for re-election next year in New York, that, you know, this is all a political, you know, political shenanigans, and it's not fair, and he's being unfairly persecuted, because that's the same message Trump has been saying, and that's not something that's going to go down well with Democratic primary voters right now. Can I say one more thing quickly?
Yeah.
It also shows the folly of the many Republicans that have said, oh, you know, DOJ is just weaponized against Trump. Well, now the Department of Justice under Joe Biden has prosecuted the Democratic mayor of the biggest city in the country, the Democratic United States Senator from New Jersey, Menendez, and the son of the sitting president. So, you know, both sides, when they appear to be doing something wrong, are facing, action from the DOJ.
Here's an interesting tweet. I'll tell you who it is in a second. I do not see how Mayor Adams can continue governing New York City. The flood of resignations and vacancies are threatening government function. Nonstop investigations will make it impossible to recruit and retain a qualified administration. For the good of the city, he should resign. That was actually AOC. Now, I would say for the good of the country, you should resign, but that's just me. But obviously, there's going to be Democrats that say, look, this is going to be, I mean, this is the biggest city in America. You're going to have a mayor that's going to sit there and try to deflect all this stuff and still try to run the city. That'll be interesting to watch.
Look, a lot of the times, so, you know, I sometimes advise politicians that are going through crises and that are kind of engulfed in scandal. And if you early enough, if you see it coming, it's often possible to cut deals with prosecutors to basically say, like, look, I see where this is going and I'll step down or I'll agree to not run for reelection if you guys will go away. And sometimes that works. And sometimes that's, you know, why you see, you know, kind of unexpected, you know, resignations or unexpected, you know, people unexpectedly say, I'm not running for reelection. It looks from Adams' posture that, you know, he knew about this investigation for a long time. But
yeah.
for whatever reason, you know, he has chosen defiance. Again, there are people who exist out there who have beaten the feds. But there aren't many. There's a lot more people that have beaten local cases or state cases than have ever beaten the feds, because when they come, you know, as they say, they come correct.
Yeah, right.
They really, on my investigation.
Oop, we lost
it.
Wait, say that again, Jeff, because it was one of those cell phone moments where you went out. You said, in my investigation, what?
Well, so like, you know, long-time listeners, you know this, so sorry to belabor the point, but, you know, my situation was a postcard that was put out by one of my, you know, an ally, someone who wanted me to win, but I didn't have any interaction with him during my campaign. It was not legal for them to talk to two of my campaign staff about that, and that broke the campaign coordination laws. The federal government began looking into that in August of 2004, but my indictment didn't happen till August 2009. So it was really like 4 years, 11 Whoa. Months, 4 years and 11 months before they did the indictment on a crime where the statute of limitations was 5 years. And so
wow.
the point is they devote a ton of time and resources to these types of investigations of public officials, and especially with high level public officials, they do not do this willy nilly.
Yeah. So well, and some of this is going back to 2014 too. They have receipts going back to then.
They do from right when he became Brooklyn Borough President.
Right. Exactly. All right. It's going to be interesting. Jeff, thanks so much for the help this afternoon. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. See you tomorrow.
Former State Senator Jeff Smith. Yeah, he will be here tomorrow, 3 o'clock on the Reardon Roundtable. He'll probably be late because he's usually late, but we're going to be happy to have him nonetheless. I couldn't resist. Sue, I have a dear friend in Houma, Louisiana. He was a roommate of mine back in the day in Columbia. He's a radio guy. Dr. Don is his name, Dr. Don Vickner. And he always accuses me of only reaching out when there's a hurricane down in Louisiana. Pretty much because the only time I reach out to him is when there's a hurricane in Louisiana. And Steve Jervey, your friend who used to work here in St. Louis, former meteorologist at KDNL and also at WFLA in Tampa, is with us this afternoon. And Steve, that's kind of the way you are with us, too. We only call you when bad stuff's happening, and we apologize for that.
It's okay. I completely understand. I'm the only guy in St. Louis at the moment that can speak from Florida what it's like down here.
Well, true. Yeah, and go ahead, because, you know, we're seeing the coverage from afar. It doesn't look good. It looks like a pretty, you know, serious storm surge. So give us the details of where we stand this afternoon right now down there.
Well, the storm should landfall somewhere, you know, in the Big Bend area of Florida. That's, you know, Tallahassee South, where Tallahassee is the capital city of Florida, about 20, 30, you know, 40 miles from the coast. Should landfall there within 8 hours. It's really moving quickly, about 23 miles per hour forward speed. I just checked the update, got the 5 p.m. Eastern update. It's 125 mile per hour wind. So it's a dangerous storm, not just because of the winds, but you've seen it on the satellite. It's
right.
Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just huge. And the bigger a storm is geographically, the stronger the winds extend outward from the center, the stronger winds being like to the right of the eye as you see it. And that includes pretty much all of the peninsula of Florida. But it also tends to build up a big storm surge. So they're talking about catastrophic and deadly storm surge up to 20 feet. They're using these words. unless you're on, you know, 20 feet above mean tide or what the normal tide is, that is just catastrophic for folks on the coastal areas. And if you've been in the Florida coastline up in that area, you know, it's pretty raw. It's not beautiful beaches, suntans and hotels. It's pretty, it's wetland basically. So you move that amount of water in and it's going to be rough. The other thing about this storm is that wind field is so big, as we mentioned, it's going to move over Tallahassee. They're saying that, and I've just heard this, that they might, this storm could be nothing like they've had since like 1840. So this is pretty significant for the city of Tallahassee. Got some big oak trees there, the city of trees. And then eventually, really by tomorrow, it's over Atlanta. And they're saying the same thing, 80, 90 mile per hour wind gusts. And then it could curve back around to the northwest toward Nashville and, you know, some minor wind concerns for southeast Missouri. But then it kind of merges with an upper level low. But it's a big storm, wide impacts. And, of course, here in Florida, we're feeling that right now. Looking out the window, I sent Sue some pictures.
Yes.
Did you?
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good, Gus. Nothing bad.
He says, oh, it's not bad yet. And there's palm trees half bent over. And I'm thinking, I wonder what. I think our definitions of bad. Steve, how far away from the coast is Tallahassee? That's up in the panhandle, right?
Yeah, it is. And you go straight south. And there's not really a great city to reference for a possible landfall because it is fairly unpopulated there. And there's a lot of wetland that goes, you know, south of Tallahassee once you get south of the interstate there. But, you know, 30 miles roughly down to the water. I mean, they're not going to experience salt water, but they'll get a lot of rain and, of course, the very, very high winds. It's not far from the coast. So that eye wall passes right over Tallahassee. They'll have some very significant impacts, especially since they haven't had a really direct impact like that in a long time.
When you talk about the storm surge at 20 feet, I've heard, I think we have heard some of these descriptions. How far inland can that potentially affect people?
Oh, gosh. It can go for miles, depending on the coastline. But again, keep in mind, this is largely wetland and, you know, fishing areas. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are people that live in that area, but not in great population. And they're very much used to living with the changing tides and storms, et cetera. But this is significant and perhaps even historic in that area. That Big Bend, you're taking a lot of water and you're just pushing it into that Big Bend area, and there's nowhere for it to go.
Yeah. Well, and we've seen that with past storms for sure. It is weird looking at it from afar, though, Sue, how big it just seems like it covers the entire state.
Yeah, it's just to our west. You measure it, and it looks like, you know, a big cloud area that's about the length of the Florida Peninsula. And the storm is going to carry a lot of that energy inland as well. So that's why we're talking about such great effects. And keep in mind, with the counterclockwise, like a wheel around the center, the worst part of it is to the right of the eye. That's the advancing part.
Okay.
So say you have 125-mile winds gusting within the storm. You add the forward speed onto that, and you're up close to 150 miles per hour. So that's what I'm talking about. We've had, it's 125 mile per hour winds, but you factor in the movement of the storm itself. You have to add that on to the winds because that's the storm just moving ashore.
Have they made people evacuate? What's the situation, Steve?
Yeah, they've ordered here in Tampa and Tampa Bay area, Pinellas County, St. Petersburg, et cetera. Zone A has definitely been ordered an evacuation. But, you know, if you're wise on the beaches, even tonight, it's going to get worse here tonight in terms of the winds and the tides and eventually the wind. We're already seeing flooding here in Bayshore Boulevard in Tampa. But you're going to add another 3, 4, possibly 5 feet onto that. So you'll see by tomorrow pictures from Tampa Bay and there'll be a lot of areas flooded. But it's not unusual. A lot of people live just a couple feet above sea level here at all angles, south, west, east, north. It's a very vulnerable area for any kind of water, let alone a storm this size.
Whew. Yeah, well, we wish you best of luck down there. Now, I don't know if you've taken a look. I know you mentioned Nashville in southern Missouri, but we have, this is a pretty big weekend in St. Louis. Dave Murray's actually on his way here because there's a music festival called Evolution Festival, and Dave used to be, you probably even know this, he used to be at Busch Stadium for the Cardinals doing the inside weather stuff, and Steve Shankman, who's running the Evolution Festival, they're friends, so Dave's coming in. Well, we got Billy Joel and Sting at Busch Stadium tomorrow night, Steve. Evolution Festival on Saturday and Sunday, and tomorrow looks like a lot of rain, they're saying maybe up to 2 inches here in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, yes, and you're getting that massive amount of moisture just coming in and sort of stalling out. You'd be on the western and northwest side of that, and I don't know the specific forecast for St. Louis. I haven't looked at it, but just larger picture, there's a big upper-level low-pressure area as well. It's kind of digging in across the south and southeast, and that's helping to drag that moisture across. So you're going to have perhaps winds and rain coming from that direction, where typically our winds and rain in St. Louis come in from the west. That's the typical way the pattern moves. But in this case, we have a large upper low that's also helping to steer the storm to the northeast. Big upper level low, and that tends to provide steering currents for all weather systems across the country, let alone just this hurricane.
But when one more question before I let you go. So when it makes landfall, because I think I heard one reference this morning that it shifted a little bit, and hurricanes do that. Is there still a possibility that this takes another turn, maybe a worse turn or better turn, either way?
No, I mean, we're talking about a landfall maybe 8 hours, so they got a pretty good beat on it. They have Hurricane Hunter aircraft in there measuring everything they can. So that forecast is pretty true, I think. The storms will wobble if you look at it on satellite, but that general motion around that low to the west and high to the east is probably going to take place. And that cone is so thin because the shorter before landfall, that cone gets thinner and thinner, and the more sure they are of that forecast. So it's pretty a good Got idea it. That it's probably going to come in then.
Have you ever done that, fly in the eye, like been with any of those guys?
No, I've never flown in a hurricane under aircraft. I've been in that aircraft many times when it's been on the ground, but it'd be kind of like a vomit comet, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do know what you mean, right. Doesn't sound fun. Steve Jervey, hey, thank you so much. Stay safe down there. We appreciate it, and we'll see where the updates come. Thanks, Steve.
All right,
take care. That's great. He's our official hurricane
awesome.
You know, correspondent down there in the Tampa, Florida area, and we'll continue to update you, but obviously this is going to come in overnight, and then we'll wake up tomorrow morning and see how damaging it was. I do sense that, you know, DeSantis is, again, doing a really good job of informing people, and I think people are smart enough to say, okay, we need to get out of here if they're on the coastline. But, you know, some people are stubborn, too. We'll take a break here at the top of the hour. When we return, we have, well, first of all, I have some stories to just dazzle you from the golf course. They're actually not about golf, really. Okay. They're about some stupid things that I did, which you'll actually get a kick out of. So we'll get to that. We have, and then I'm very excited. Mike Del Judas is going to be with us. Mike is the rhythm guitar player, does background vocals for Billy Joel. And Billy's going to be here tomorrow night. And Billy will tell you that one time he was in an arena getting ready to rehearse for a tour, and he heard a voice, and he thought it was his voice that was recorded, and the folks around him had to say, no, that's this guy Mike Del Judas, who was actually in a cover band that he had called Big Shot. He still has it. And they said to Mike, hey, because Billy's guys kind of did the work ahead of time, hey, you have you know the catalog, right? You know the song. Of course I do. I got a big you got a passport, right? And next thing he knew, he's touring with this band. He's been on the road with Billy Joel for 10 years now. He's
That's
been in the
awesome.
Band. And, you know, for those going to the show, and if you've seen Billy in the last 10 years, you know that Mike becomes a part of the show. They let him solo. He either sings a little opera, he does a Led Zeppelin cover, some other covers as well. So he becomes the focal point of the show because he's so unique. So he's going to join us at 4:25. It's all coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.